910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. Classes are canceled at the University of California, Irvine, where police in riot gear have moved in on the campus. They're going face-to-face with pro-Palestinian demonstrators who entered a lecture hall and barricaded the building. A number of arrests have been made. Evacuations underway on Galveston's Pelican Island after a barge hit the island's causeway, damaging the bridge and causing an oil spill.
Local officials are reporting the leak has now been fixed, and while we don't know exactly how much oil was spilled into the bay, we do know this barge could hold up to 30,000 gallons. So needless to say, the cleanup here will take a lot of time and effort.
ABC's Maria Villarreal in Texas. A Pentagon survey shows a drop of almost 19% in the number of service members who say they experienced some type of unwanted sexual contact since the previous survey that was taken 2 years ago. This is ABC News. A single-engine plane crash in southeastern Montana killed two, the pilot and passenger, according to the FAA. Lawmakers are hearing about evolving threats to the nation's transportation.
TSA Administrator David Pekoski came before a House subcommittee to discuss their proposed fiscal year 2025 budget. Chairman Carlos Jimenez says there's an evolving threat landscape and that TSA has a steadfast responsibility to screen and protect the traveling public. Pekoski spoke about streamlining the timeline for new aviation screen technology and how TSA can improve identifying and detecting threats.
Ensuring security of our transportation system requires constant focus, continued investment, and hard work.
Emwin, ABC News, Washington.
The Premier League's 20 soccer clubs will discuss a proposal next month to end the use of video review for refereeing decisions. Wolverhampton says VAR has led to numerous negative consequences. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Gwitt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between Deep Here and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There'll be two special elections in Wisconsin this year to fill vacant seats. One of them will be for state senate in Milwaukee in July. The other will be for U.S. House in northeast Wisconsin in November. The winners will replace Lena Taylor and Mike Gallagher. Governor Evers announced the dates this week. Wisconsin is waiting to see how the state Supreme Court rules on allowing absentee ballot drop boxes this year. Janelle Ludwig Krause is a voting advocate in western Wisconsin. She says all kinds of voters vote absentee.
Farmers who need to be on their field when the conditions are dry, it makes it possible for parents that are juggling a million things to cast a ballot, for people with disabilities, for elderly people.
Opponents say it's too easy to use drop boxes to commit voter fraud. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers clobber the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The ball game started out tight. Pirates with a 1-0 lead. Sal Frelick comes to the plate, lays down a bunt.
Got a guy on first, and obviously the score was, you know, we hadn't scored yet. So I thought, you know, him falling off the base there to third would be a good opportunity for me to try to get on base there. And I thought that was the best play there, and glad it worked out.
Later, Frelick would be one of five Brewers with home runs today. Churio, 441 feet. Ortiz, Contreras, Sanchez, Final score, the Brewers 10, the Pirates 2. Brewers manager, Pat Murphy.
I like this team a lot. I just love the guys. You know, I don't know how good we are, but I'm not worried about comparing us. I'm just worried about guys are not coasting.
Next, the Brewers head on a three-city road trip, their longest of the season. NFL, schedules coming out. The Packers learning they're playing on Thanksgiving for a second year in a row. This time, though, in Green Bay in prime time against the Miami Dolphins. From AmFam Field with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight with scattered showers and a few thunderstorms and lows in the upper 40s. For tomorrow, more clouds, showers, and maybe a storm or two, especially early. Highs in the mid-60s. Warmer Friday, sunshine, highs mid to upper 70s. Currently 57 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk all things sports balls with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot at 11:50. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBCH.
You're listening to pre-recorded
Hayward's
content produced
Matinair
by Civic
on air.
Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut anything.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive. Because
it's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut anything.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, with Make Voting a Tradition.
We love those guys and the work they do, and Robert Lilligren. The leader of that group is just an awesome person, and you can hear him almost every Thursday on Native Roots Radio. So we are excited to have the Minnesota State Lieutenant Governor on the show right now. And Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, thank you so, so much for being on Native Roots Radio.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Gosh, I'm really excited to be able to be with you live from the Comfort Inn in Rhinelander.
The old Rhinelander, Wisconsin. And what's exciting, Lieutenant Governor, is that we have a big reach in Wisconsin. We're on over 18 stations in Wisconsin, and we're excited to amplify what you're doing today and also talk a little national politics. So again, big peeny geegee for being on, Peggy.
It's my absolute pleasure. And when I was asked to come to Wisconsin to surrogate for the Biden-Harris campaign, I jumped at the chance. I think, you know, we have a healthy rivalry between Minnesota and Wisconsin, right? The Vikings and the Packers and the, you know, Badgers and Gophers.
Absolutely.
But I think we do have shared values, really grounded in caring for one another and just making sure that everyone has an opportunity. And so that's why I'm here. Also, I love cheese, so figured there'll be lots of opportunities for that here.
Well, I went to Madison for a few years, but I did more studying in the bar than in class. So I had to get my degree in Minnesota, but there's so many similarities, and I didn't know cheese curds in Wisconsin aren't the way they make them here in Minnesota. Do you know that?
Well, they're cold in Wisconsin,
yeah.
Right? And in Minnesota, we deep fry them. Listen, I'm not going to discriminate against cheese. I like it in all forms. Yeah. You might not like me back, as many of our indigenous relatives know. But I love it. But yeah, seriously, I am so so happy to be here this weekend and just traveling around the state. There's incredible opportunities here, I think, to connect with voters, with the Native vote that I think mm-hmm. has truly the power to decide this election in swing states across the country. And it is critical that our people turn out and vote. And, you know, in my opinion, vote for Democrats.
Absolutely. And one of the things we talk about so much on Native Roots Radio is our trifecta here in Minnesota. And we would love that with our neighbors in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's, I think, part of, you know, the message that I want to send here as well. You know, things like making sure that every child can eat breakfast and lunch at school, paid family and medical leave, protecting access to abortion and reproductive rights, and just investing really in the things and the people that we care about. Many of the things that we got done this last legislative session, we'd been laying the groundwork to organize around for decades. So I think, you know, and watching what, you know, Ben Wickler has done here with the Wisconsin Democratic Party, redistricting that is finally more fair and just, the opportunities here in Wisconsin to do that as well. It is, you know, the time is right. And I think 2024 is really the year to make it happen.
What I really like, and you know, Lieutenant Governor, I have a different job. We don't talk too much about here on Native Roots Radio, but I do have a different job, and I go to Wisconsin quite a bit. And there's a great sign that says, vote Democrat because they vote for you.
Yeah. And I think that sums it up, right? Like the contrast that we see between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, I think in this moment could not be clearer. We have, you know, a president who has a long track record of investing in tribal communities. You know, since Biden-Harris has come into office, I think it's been, you know, really powerful, especially with our Auntie Deb, right, with Secretary Holland, who has been in this role. It's a complete game changer for us. The kind of investments, historic investments in Indian country, in infrastructure, in healthcare, in education, it really of honoring the promises that the government made to Native people and continuing to build on that. The compassion with the boarding school work that, you know, that has been invested in. And really, I think the most important thing that I have seen is truly respecting just the government-to-government relationship and allowing additional flexibility with federal dollars, knowing that Native folks know how to spend these resources best and tribes should be, you know, leading the way. That's what I've seen come out of the Biden-Harris administration. And the contrast with Donald Trump, who has openly just said foul and racist things about Native people, who has zero respect for sovereignty, for even the sovereignty for us as you know, women or over our own bodies and our ability to make our own healthcare decisions. And he's in it for himself. I've never seen a quote unquote leader who has been so blatant in just, you know, naming the fact that like they're in it for themselves and for their billionaire, you know, buddies. Like he doesn't care about us. He doesn't care about regular folks who are just, you know, trying to make it. And so I think that for me, you know, is one of the most important messages is like, you know, he's a selfish leader who just doesn't, you know, care. And I think would do away with democracy in a heartbeat. And we can't let that happen. And I think, you know, Native folks can really be the determinant this year. And that's why I'm here. And that's why I'm here in April. And, you know, we'll continue to come back to Wisconsin and to swing states across the country to make sure that the people know what's at stake and that we have the power to make the difference in this election cycle.
Yeah, it surely showed that the last presidency. And I know people like Robert Lilligren's group, Rock the Vote Native Style, or not Rock, Make Voting a Tradition. They registered 9,000 new voters, Native American voters, in that last cycle, which helped the governor and lieutenant governor of Minnesota, but also nationally.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. And, And, you know, when I think about NAFTA, right, and I think about just even the, you know, the phrase, make voting a tradition, voting and voting by moving forward by consensus is so grounded in so many of our communities, right? I think sometimes there's this vibe of like, oh, that's not our system, right? Like, you know, sometimes folks don't want to participate in that. But listen, we are impacted more by decision makers, right, and elected officials than any other group of folks, right? Mm-hmm. So from, you know, the local, state, certainly, you know, federal level, and the executive branch, I think, really, really matters. So I am thrilled, right, by those results of registering new voters, and that absolutely has to be a part of the way that we build power all of the time. Voter registration, coming back to, you know, lobby folks when they're in office, and just having a consistent presence, not just about elections, but that we are engaged as Native people and will continue to show up over and over again.
Hey, we're here with Minnesota State Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, and we're talking about Biden and also our sister state, Wisconsin, and we're going to be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950. As we gear up for American Indian Celebration Month in May, it's crucial to prioritize our health, especially with celebrations on the horizon. If you start feeling off, like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, don't ignore it. Take an at-home COVID-19 test right away. And remember, if you're not feeling well, it's okay to stay home. Your health comes first. A quick note on COVID testing. The Minnesota Department of Health's free COVID-19 at-home testing program has ended. But don't worry. If you're uninsured, you can still find no-cost tests using the CDC's COVID-19 testing locator. If you have health insurance, you might be eligible for free tests or reimbursement for testing expenses. Just ask your local pharmacy or health insurance provider for more information. Stay informed. Stay protected. Let's prioritize our health this American Indian Celebration Month in May and ensure our communities and elders remain safe and healthy. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health. Visit health.state.mn.us.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Oh, we love those guys and the work they do all over Turtle Island. And again, they were one of our first sponsors 7 years ago. So we really have a deep heart and relationship with Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. Great work there. Hey, we are here with Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, and we are really excited to talk about what she's doing today and also amplify a few things that we all love to talk about here on Native Roots Radio. Welcome back.
Thanks so much. I'm so happy to be here.
You were talking about the contrast earlier in the last segment between Biden and Trump. There are so many stark ones. How about if you pop out a couple of them, because I know Indian country and the people that listen to Native Roots Radio sometimes need to be reminded.
Yeah. So I think for many of us, right, like those 4 years were just so dark that we try to, you know, forget them. And, you know, it was just like the days of what is he going to tweet, right? Like having a little like pit in your stomach, which like world leader is he going to go after for no reason other than ego? As a mom, right? Literally having to turn off the TV when he came on because I couldn't have my daughter like listen to his like violent rhetoric and crude behavior. And I would think about who the president was like every single day. And it was, you know, I think really traumatic for so many of us. You know, one of the things that, you know, he did is signed right authorization for the Dakota Access Pipeline the second day he was in office. You know, that I think is, you know, deeply painful. And, you know, juxtapose that with, you know, the leadership of Secretary Holland, you know, that was, you know, who was appointed by President Biden to be really deeply committed to clean energy and this clean energy economy and, you know, making sure that we have a pathway away from fossil fuels. And that's incredibly important, right? The sustainability of our communities, that we are impacted more than anybody else. So that I think is very clear. And, you know, taking folks back in the Wayback Machine all the way to 1993, excuse me, when, you know, right after the Indian Gaming Act was passed, that you know, Donald Trump, there's this sort of infamous hearing where he, you know, goes after tribes, uses some of the most like racist language and rhetoric I've heard. And then, you know, talks about how he wants a system to be more fair, right? And that it's not fair for him to have to pay taxes. He's not really good at paying taxes, anyway, right? But at the time, right, simultaneously, Chief Executive Melanie Benjamin reminded me of this just earlier this week, that he was actively getting ready to file for bankruptcy while he was testifying at that hearing. So, you know, Indian gaming is one of the things that has really allowed us to, you know, care for our own people, provide tourism and jobs to non-Native folks, right? Healthcare to people. Like it is, you know, it is one of the ways that we're able to support our communities. That is always under threat, and specifically, right, under threat by if Donald Trump is reelected. And so like that's real and we have to talk about it versus, right, the Biden administration that has been, you know, committed to our ability, right, to be able to care for our own people and our own communities and have, you know, an economy and infrastructure within our own tribes that, you know, again, if Indian country is doing well, the rest of the community, the region, the state, and the country are doing well. And I think that the Biden-Harris administration, you know, really understands that.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, I'm referring back to my other job that I don't talk about much here on Native Roots Radio is that let me back up a second. We have Bob Blake from Red Lake on every Wednesday, and he gives us solar news. He's the solar bear with the solar news, and it's really fun. But he talks about what great work the Biden administration has done, not in Indian country, but all over with renewable energy.
Yeah, the investments have been significant. And I think like, we just need to keep talking about it. And that is why, you know, I'm here and trying to spread the word, and we'll be continuing to chat with folks about what is at stake. These investments are real. Clean energy economy is what is needed and necessary for, you know, for our people, and they've really delivered. You know, I think there's just in generally, right, there's been a lot of investment, but specifically for tribal communities are really impressive. So there's been $32 billion to support healthcare and housing, you know, survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault, childcare for our people. And, you know, those are real tangible things where, you know, we frankly, our communities deserve those investments. I consider it in many ways a down payment, right? The Biden-Harris administration understands that, and I think we'll continue to make these investments. One of the things that I think is so critical for tribal communities, especially, you know, our reservation communities, are those investments in infrastructure. So it's $13 billion to fix roads and bridges, provide clean drinking water for our people, And then, you know, Robert, as you mentioned, more than $720 million to help tribes to adapt and plan for climate change, to mitigate drought, support fisheries, and then, you know, transition to a clean energy production and use for our communities. So that's real money. You know, $3.5 billion for high speed internet across the country. We know how much that is needed in our communities, especially rural communities. And then just generally, you know, overall providing just more of a greater role in the management of the land and water that have cultural and natural resources that are, you know, significant to our people. So, you know, that's been just like a lot to talk about. So we need to continue to talk about it.
Yeah, and remind people because it is night or day. And I'm glad you mentioned broadband, because a lot of our tribes are out there, and a lot of our farmers and a lot of other people. And we found out during COVID that we need an infrastructure update, and the president and their people reacted accordingly.
That's right. That's right. And I think the, you know, again, continuing the tribal summits, the government to government work and conversations, as well as being really clear that there are opportunities to work within and to support urban Native communities as well, right? We don't all live on reservations, and you know that, and I think that there's been a commitment to that too. And, you know, I am eager for the Biden-Harris administration to be able to continue this work. We are not done yet. And so I think, you know, having four more years is going to give us an opportunity to build a really solid foundation to set us up for success, you know, into the future, to strengthen this relationship between tribes, right, and the federal government, but also to make sure that they continue to deliver on their promises, you know, for our communities.
Well, we talk about a lot here in Native Roots Radio about Biden as being an elder. And what I mean by that, that's a Native way. When somebody's older, that's who you want to find out things. And he's got a great cabinet and people working for him. But we respect our elders.
That's right. And here's what I know. And I'm going to share this story around the state today. But the first time that I ever met President Biden, it's when he was vice president. I was invited to his home for a celebration for advocates around domestic violence and sexual assault prevention. And I was with Dave Wellstone, the son of our late great Senator Paul Wellstone. So the two of us got to meet with him before sort of the big party. And I told him my story about being a survivor of domestic violence and a child witness of abuse. And the care that he had in holding and hearing my story, he gave me a hug and I felt seen and supported. And it really, he encouraged me to keep telling it. And I think there's something like, if you can tell the vice president this story, I bet you can tell other people. but it was just the incredible kindness. And so that for me is, you know, he is an elder, right? He is wise. He is caring. And I think, you know, coming back to that piece, Robert, I'm so glad that you brought that up, right? We respect the wisdom, right, and the experience of our elders. And, you know, that is clearly something that we need to keep talking about. He has a great big heart, and I am grateful that he has been our president and stepped up during a time when we were all just experiencing incredible trauma, and has set us on a road to healing.
Wow, really good medicine. We are here with Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, and what good medicine you're giving our listeners today. And you, everywhere you speak, you give us chills. And when I was a high school teacher, I always said,
"You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH."
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. Classes are canceled at the University of California, Irvine, where police in riot gear have moved in on the campus. They're going face-to-face with pro-Palestinian demonstrators who entered a lecture hall and barricaded the building. A number of arrests have been made. Evacuations underway on Galveston's Pelican Island after a barge hit the island's causeway, damaging the bridge and causing an oil spill.
Local officials are reporting the leak has now been fixed, and while we don't know exactly how much oil was spilled into the bay, we do know this barge could hold up to 30,000 gallons. So needless to say, the cleanup here will take a lot of time and effort.
ABC's Maria Villarreal in Texas. A Pentagon survey shows a drop of almost 19% in the number of service members who say they experienced some type of unwanted sexual contact since the previous survey that was taken 2 years ago. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state senators are voting to override 9 of Governor Evers' recent vetoes and accuse Democrats of playing politics with everything from PFAS cleanup to Western Wisconsin emergency health care. Senator Howard Markline.
We have urgent needs across the state. The legislature has addressed those needs and has solved those problems. However, the governor put special interests and his liberal base ahead of the people of Wisconsin.
Democrats call Tuesday's session an election year gimmick. The countdown to next year's NFL draft in Green Bay is officially underway after a ceremonial handoff of hosting duties from Detroit Tuesday. Officials are expecting more than 250,000 tourists in the Fox Valley and a $90 million economic impact statewide. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Pete with the 60-second showbiz beat. When a show becomes a hit, it's easier to get big stars to sign on. Such is the case with Only Murders in the Building, which is about to launch season 4. Entertainment Weekly reports that a new trailer was released on Tuesday, which showcases all the new faces, which include Melissa McCarthy, Zach Galifianakis, Eva Longoria, Meryl Streep, and Molly Shannon. How's that for star power? It also doesn't hurt that people want to work with comedy legends Steve Martin and Martin Short. And Selena Gomez isn't too shabby either. Only Murders drops on Hulu August 27th. Are you ready for more Terminator? The franchise's latest installment is an episodic animated series set in Tokyo in 1997. Entertainment Weekly reports the show will have more of an emphasis on the horror genre from the first two feature films. Head writer Mattson Tomlin says the series will have all original characters and will take place just before Judgment Day. Episodes for the show will drop August 29th at 3 a.m. You can have the entire season completed by lunchtime. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight with scattered showers and a few thunderstorms and lows in the upper 40s. For tomorrow, more clouds, showers, and maybe a storm or two, especially early. Highs in the mid-60s. Warmer Friday, sunshine, highs mid to upper 70s. It's 55 right now.
Matt Mayer on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Mayer on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Siskel and Ebert producer John Davies and meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins the show to discuss tick season. Should be a great show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, was really great to have the Lieutenant Governor on the first segment. What a well-spoken. We could have her on every day. It's
really, truly.
And what a great speaker. And I've always get emotional when she's on the show. So, yeah, big peeny geegy. Hey, we are here with John Williams here, and he's a movie producer, and we know him for other things here in the community. And John, don't laugh. You are a movie producer.
Well, it looks like it could happen.
Well, we are going to be talking about the movie you're going to be working on, and we really appreciate you coming on. And talk about the process and talk about where you're at with your next coming project. And we're excited to amplify that today.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me, you guys. It's great to see you, Haley and Robert. I have a couple of things I wanted to talk about NACDI for you guys. Do you mind? We have some really fun stuff going on at the gallery at All My Relations. We've got an artist market coming this weekend. So it's Friday and Saturday. We've got 15 to 20 vendors. It's going to be from 10 to 2 right at our gallery next to Powwow Grounds on the Ave, but it should be great. I was at the last one and spent too much money, but that's a good thing to do, is come and spend money on artists. So yeah. Please yes. Come Friday, Saturday, April 19th and 20th, 10 to 2, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Yeah, we are excited, and we love to come there, Haley and I, we're going to be excited. We're going to be part of the market when it comes out this year, Native Roots Trading Post. And we have those cool little hoodies that you had taken a picture and put on Facebook up there, and we're excited to get those out there.
Yeah, everybody likes that, so I'm gonna need more. The other thing is we have a new exhibit opening, you guys. It's Frank Buffalo Hyde, and he is opening a show called Alternative. It's painting and sculpture, and he's an amazing artist. It opens May 9th, and vivid and pop culture saturated, his work reflects on the commodification of Indian culture and the assertive roles for Native American identity in the contemporary world. So should be a stellar exhibit. Opening reception May 9th, 6 to 8. Let me just double check. 6 to 8. I was right the first time, May 9th. So please come down, celebrate Native art with us, come to the market. Thank you for letting me promote those things on the show.
Absolutely. And Haley talks about them, and we have Robert Lilligren on Thursdays too. So we love talking about what's happening on the Native corridor in Minneapolis. And I just want to remind too, all our listeners out there, everyone's invited, you know, all our allies out there.
Absolutely.
There is so much fun and joy. Stop in the coffee shop, check out the whole avenue and what's happening, you know. So we're really excited to be a part of this and be able to go down there and do that with you. And it's just a welcoming situation, John.
Hey, Robert, I heard that Robert Lilligren is kind of a disruptive guest. Is this true?
Yeah. No, but I do know that he appreciates his name spoken correctly. And so I am practicing every day now.
Right. You stumbled on Robert or Lilligren?
Maybe both.
Yeah. Ooh, Haley, easy there. Maybe both. I'll take the fifth. You'll have to listen more often, John.
I do try to listen, but I will take that as direction to listen more frequently.
Hey, so let's talk about what happened up in Duluth and what's happening now, and the project you're working on. I'm really excited to amplify that.
Oh, good. Well, so I'm going to tell you the story here. And if we have to go to commercial, just shut me up, okay? which I know you will. So our friend Tashia Hart, who is a writer based in Duluth, she was part of our Native Authors program at NACTI and All My Relations. And for those who don't know about it, the Native Author program that we've been operating since 2021 is for emerging Native American artists. And Tashia Hart was in our first cohort. And by the way, it's been so successful that we'll be starting our third cohort this year. But Tashia wrote a novel. She wrote a romance novel called Native Love Jams. So that was happening and part of NACTI. So this is NACTI adjacent. In the meanwhile, my former colleague at NACTI, Elizabeth Day, is a filmmaker. And she made a beautiful documentary, co-directed and co-produced a documentary that that opened the Minnesota Film Festival last week. And so we were up there, but prior to going up to celebrate Elizabeth and Jonathan's beautiful film called Without Arrows, and that will be airing on PBS later this year. It's a gorgeous film about a Cheyenne River family, the Fiddlers, and the ups and downs of their life and reservation life and urban life. And so beautiful. The photography is stunning and it just packs a wallop at the end. Couldn't recommend it higher. More highly. So Without Arrows. But Elizabeth and I told her last year, I said, whatever your next project is, I want to work on it. That's all I said to her. Mm-hmm. In the interim, and a couple weeks had passed, in that interim, we both had picked up a copy of Native Love Jams and read it. And then I ran into Elizabeth and she said, here's my new project. I want to produce Native Love Jams into a movie. I was sold because I think there might be one or two other Native American romantic comedies, but it's certainly not something that's common. Mm-hmm. And I thought what the world needs right now is a Native American rom-com. And so what, so Tashia Hart went ahead and wrote a screenplay. And we decided to enter the pitch competition at the Minnesota Film Festival. And come to find out in February, March, we were selected as a finalist.
Wow.
So during the festival, yeah. So we went up and we rehearsed and we rehearsed and we got our stuff together and wrote. And Tashia and Elizabeth got up on stage last week and sold this pitch to festival attendees and industry professionals. And everybody laughed at the right moments. They thought it was wonderful. And we ended up winning. So we won the award. And at the same, just shortly after that, Elizabeth won for her other film for Best Local Filmmaker. So we just cleaned up that night. It was wonderful. There's been some interest already in our project Native Love Jams, and so we're kind of getting our stuff together here and forming an LLC and doing production company stuff and all of that. But thank you for letting me promote it. We really believe that this whole novel, the way that Tashia is so carefully crafted a romantic comedy to reflect a true Anishinaabe story, is so winning and beautiful and funny, and we deserve a happy ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And it's so interesting too. I was in New York and ran into a filmmaker, and she was trying to ask me if I knew any filmmakers. And then this popped up. So love to get you two together and talk over things, because she has a film. Haley, what's the name of the film again?
The Heart Stays.
Yeah, and that's on Apple TV, and she self-produced it, and it's just great to see all this art and film and television and media out there that Native Americans are doing by themselves.
Well, that's what Elizabeth and I want to do with our production company, is we want to not only produce cool Native movies, we want to build Native talent within the film industry. We would love to see more people getting trained in being a grip and being a focus puller, being part of a production. So many people love movies and they may think that they don't have an in to become part of the movie making process or TV making process. And so we want to strategize about ways that if we bring productions to Minnesota, are fortunate enough to do that, that we focus on how that's going to most directly impact our Native communities.
Absolutely. And we always talk, and I know we've talked, you and I, about Natives telling their own story, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. We have heart, we have humor, and we've proven that in the last 5 years with things like the television show Reservation Dogs and the movies that have come out, Predator, the pre-Predator, and there's just been a lot of excitement that we have to keep this momentum going.
Absolutely. I mean, we couldn't be more thrilled that Reservation Dogs was a success. Lily Gladstone is kicking down doors for us. Mm-hmm. There needs to be some equal time for Native people. And, you know, frankly, I want all of our stories being told, but those stories include romantic comedies. They right. include horror movies, which is my favorite right. genre. They include dramas, and not all of our stories are rooted in trauma.
Right.
Sometimes right. we just need a 2-hour break and watch something fun and light, and where all the tropes of a romantic comedy are represented, because she was so smart in putting this together, that we just get to celebrate the tumultuous ways that us Native people are falling in love.
Hey, we're here with John Williams, and he's Vice President of Development at Native American Community Development Institute and also a producer. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about this. And also, I will be shaving my goatee off if I need be to try out for the movie.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We'll send you the casting call.
Right on, right on. For somebody, a radio personality that mispronounces everyone's names, right?
Right. You might, yeah. Well, there's a place for everybody in our ways.
That's Aww. Right. Oh, that's really cool. John, great to see you. Thank you for everything you do in the community, and good luck with this, and stay in touch too. We want
all to right. Definitely. We will be back, I hope, to talk about Native Love Jams and all things NACTI. Thanks, you guys.
Right on. Hey, Native Roots Radio, we'll be right back after this short break.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, March 16th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org.
As nature awakens this spring, let's awaken to the call of protection. Native brothers and sisters, let's bloom together by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. Let's nurture our heritage and safeguard our futures, one vaccination at a time. So be a vaccinative this spring by protecting yourself and others in our Native community. Whether you're due for an updated vaccine or just getting started, all COVID vaccines offer vital protection against severe illness. For our elders over 65, the latest vaccine is recommended by the CDC to maintain protection. So spring forward with strength, Native communities. Embrace the renewal of the season and safeguard our traditions by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more.
Tune in to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Well, I just want to mention too, Haley, that it's Jim Thorpe Day today. And, you know, we talk about Jim Thorpe a lot here as one of the greatest athletes of all time. And it's proven, it was voted on. He was the greatest athlete of the 20th century. Excited to amplify that in 1973. On this date, President Tricky Dick Nixon made it his day. So, hey.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool.
Awesome. Hey, you know, we have our special guest as always, and we want to talk about some fun things here and what's going on tomorrow. Dr. Maureen Hackett, welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here. And I'm following on some pretty tough guests. I mean, you had Lieutenant Governor Flanagan. That's pretty amazing. And I know I've heard her many times. And so I would say she's probably the special guest. But anyway, we do have Wolf Day at the Capitol tomorrow. And we plan on adjusting slightly what we're going to be saying to some of the legislators, because we actually had a vote in the Senate last week. They tend to take votes with little notice. So we only had about 2 days notice, or maybe a little more, that they might have a vote on the floor of the Senate. And they did. And the vote was basically to prohibit wolf hunting. And we did not pass by a little bit. It's 30 to 35. And so tomorrow, we will be thanking those that voted to prohibit wolf hunting. And we will be asking the people whose senators or representatives that didn't vote, because the House voted last spring, and we can talk about that in a minute. But the senators that didn't vote with us, it's an opportunity for their constituents to talk to them about it and find out what are they thinking, what are their concerns, things like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's part of tomorrow. There's also the potential for a bill to pass, but we have to work on our on the bill language, and that is to require permission to trap on private lands, either written or verbal. Right now, 23 other states require permission if you want to put traps on someone's land. And the state of Wisconsin has had written permission required on all private lands for hunting and trapping since 1995. Wow. So what we're getting in Minnesota is we're kind of getting the people that don't want to have to ask anybody for permission to put traps on private lands from Wisconsin coming over to Minnesota. And so we hope that this gets passed. We know it's in the House Environment Committee, but there is some language we're objecting to, some exceptions are in there, and one of them we're objecting to it, and it involves exempting Highway 2. Mm. If you could hang on 1 second, I've got some feedback going on.
Well, we're here with Dr. Maureen Hackett, and she's the founder of Howling for Wolves, and she's back.
I'm back. Sorry, I just had to close a door. I left the radio on in the other room and I didn't want you guys to hear it. But so basically, tomorrow's Wolf Day. We plan on gathering with other wolf advocates. We have these great new t-shirts. I mean, I really like them. They're a hemp viscose material that's actually heavier than the kind we've had in the past. We have a vegan lunch by Root to Rise. And we really want people to register so we could plan. And it's kind of late to register now. But We're expecting probably a little over 100 people have RSVP'd. You know, we do get no-shows, so walk-ins are welcome, because I'm sure we'll have plenty to give out. And it's a nice time. We get a chance. I give a little talk I explain a bunch of things that I've been explaining on the radio. And there's a Dr. Michael Fox, who's a veterinarian. He's approximately, he's in his early 80s, maybe mid 80s now. And he's been working animal issues for a very long time, especially with elephants in India. And he's frequently, so he's going to say about 5 minutes too. I haven't quite figured out where in the program, but he'll be in the beginning of the day. And then everybody will go off to their meetings and report back to us on our little form we put together to tell us what they learn.
So are we going to talk to senators or the representatives too?
It's whoever we can get meetings with. And and to be honest with you, right now they're really busy with their sessions. And so sometimes the best we can do is call them out of the session, you know, and have them come talk to you in the hallway. Otherwise, we do try to get meetings set up, and we have a bunch set up, and it matters in terms of when you registered, if we had enough time to get those meetings set up. And they're quick meetings. They're but usually they'll meet with constituents for sure on that day. I think it's going to be a big show tomorrow, or a big day tomorrow, because not just for us, but there are going to be a lot of people at the Capitol. I know the veterans are doing a walk. Disabled American veterans are going to be in the rotunda at noon. I plan on, as a veteran, I plan on sneaking up and joining them for a little bit, and showing them my support. So there will be lots of activity at the Capitol, and we hope you'll get a meeting. And if you don't get a meeting, a lot of times we can get a meeting another day.
Right. Or you can go in with somebody else. I know I'm always pleased to go in with Wendy, my wife, because she's an old hat at this and has it down. But she's also over the years helped people and gone in with people like Haley, who would be the first time. And also where Haley lives, there's a Republican representative and a Democrat senator, right?
Yes. Yep.
Who's the senator? Do you remember, Haley? What city?
That's a great question. I'm in Lake Elmo, so East Metro.
Oh, so you're probably Representative Housley, and I'm almost sure of it. If you're not, you know, if you're a Senator Housley or Seeberger, who's a Democrat. It depends. Oh, yeah.
Yes, I think Seeberger, and then I've got Mark Wines too for Republican.
Okay. Seeberger voted with us. Basically, every Democrat voted to prohibit wolf hunting except five, and I can name them off the top of my head. Actually, maybe six. And one Republican voted to prohibit wolf hunting, and that was Senator Jim Abler. The Democrats that voted, did not vote with us, were Senator Hoffman, Senator Latz, which surprised us out of St. Louis Park, Senator Housechild, Senator Kupek, and who could I possibly be forgetting? I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody. Yeah, that's the best I can come up with right now. But yeah.
Well, first of all, I just want to mention this because you just mentioned this, that thank you for serving. I did not know you were a veteran.
Yes, occasionally I mention it. It's in my bio on the Howling for Wolves website, but you got to go to the first line of like below even the general description. Yes, I was in for 7 years in the Air Force, and I was in the Medical Corps. I was a psychiatrist in the Air Force. I left as a major, finished my commission off. Yeah, I had an 8-year commission. Anyways, it was in part how I paid for medical school. But I'm very glad I did it. I got more out of it than I would say I gave, although I gave my heart too. So anyway,
that's awesome. Dr. Hackett, we only have 30 seconds left. Let's give that information about tomorrow again for our listeners.
Well, it's Wolf Day at the Capitol, and it starts at 10:30. You register around 10, but everybody's registered and walk-ins are welcome. We can't really do much with walk-ins other than welcome you and enjoy your company and throw you into some meetings if you're willing. We'd love that. And just hang out. So it's at the Capitol in the basement, the vault room.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special edition of Thursday Tangents with Lukester. It's Luke Bathers right here. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Well, hi there. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WBZH. It's not just for farmers. It's for anybody that loves food. Tune in 5 a.m. on the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. Hayward.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.